it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Oh, let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me.
Breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Let it breathe. Breath of God, breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Oh, God. Let it breathe on me.
let the breath of God now breathe on me.
God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. You know, that song reminds me of, I haven't remember this for a long time, but I remember my mother had a picture of a shepherd dog in the snow, and there was a lamb laying there, and this dog was a howling, and it was dark, and he was letting the shepherd know where that lamb was at. And every time I look at that, I would think, you know, God is such a good shepherd, he would leave his 99 and go find the one that is lost out there. And I thought, God, I feel so blessed that he would take the time for us, that he loves us so much that he would, as a shepherd, he could, was concerned about his sheep, and he would trek through snow, a storm, no matter what, was to get to that lamb that was lost. That poor lamb. And I thought, God, there's nobody in this world that loves me as much as that to risk their life to go and come to find me. But at the same time, I thought, God, sometimes he has to break their legs to keep them at home. And you know, he's broke my leg many a time because I run off. I run off many a time. But thank God he had the love and the desire to come and get me and bring me back. And because he loved me so much, and that song, let him breathe on me, that sweet Holy Ghost Spirit that you felt there, that would keep a man or a woman to want to stay in the fold of God and to be loved by him. Doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that sweet spirit feel so wonderful? And to know that there's a God in heaven that loves us so good. I kept thinking about that scripture Brother Durham was talking about, and then about the Sadducees and Pharisees, their whitest sepulchers. Inside them they had dead man's bones. And I thought about, they would search sea and land to bring in one proselyte out of the world, and then make him twofold more the child of hell. And I thought, God, you brought me out of those things, and you brought me into a way knowing that you love me. I thought, you know, the hardest thing for me to do was, when I first got this way, was to stay here. I would want to run every time things got tough, and I'd take off. I'd leave. Away I'd go. You know, I wish that I had the Holy Ghost when I was pretty young, but I never let it develop in me. But I wish to God that I could have got established in God before I even got married. That way I would have not given my wife the hell that I put her through. You know, and I pray now that, you know, I'm raising 3 granddaughters, and I keep saying, God, before they find someone to marry, a spouse, let them be full of the Holy Ghost. Let them be established in God. Because look at the hell they'll go through if they don't. You know, a man can drag a woman all over creation just thinking he wants to do his own thing. And that poor woman, finally, she gets enough of it. But you know, if she starts praying, and Yvonne done the same thing for my poor, wretched brother, and look where he's at today. And me too, my wife. You know, when we first got this way, she had, I hate to admit this, but this is true. But you know, what comes from the heart, you know, it comes from the heart. My wife would just act like she was going to go to the ministry about me, and I'd try to straighten up. I'd try, you know. You know, but it wasn't that. It did have something to do with it. But you know, it really deep down, I respected the God's ministry so much that, and I was really thankful that we had a safety there. You know what I mean? And my wife and even I had a safety in knowing there's a ministry that loves us, that will help us throughout things. You know, I know one time, and I regret it, that my wife, we just could not get along. We fought like cats and dogs. You know, she thought she knew everything was right, and I did too, and we was just like two wild mules jerking the chain. Every time she'd jerk the chain, I'd jerk it too. I'd jerk it back just as hard as I could, and she'd jerk it back. I'd say, I'll fix your wagon. I'll set you down the road talking to yourself. Well, you know, finally I had enough of it. And I said, well, that's the end of this deal, you know. So I left for a while. I said, man, I got to get away from this, you know. And she was the same way. I got to get out of this situation. I can't handle this. This is more I can handle. But you know, God loved me and my wife and my family enough to bring me and turn me around. It takes God. You know, God could have said, I've had enough of that guy too, so I'm not going to deal with him anymore. He's crazy. He ain't got a lick of sense. He's just like an old bay mule. He don't have a lick of sense. He can't be trained. But I'm glad God saw the need to bring me back. But you know, at the same time, we can get out there and get involved in stealing and drugs, and people are dying because of some little vial or something that will get you high. And it's beyond me. But you know, that's how wicked the world is today. But there's safety in here. There is safety in God's. In God, that's where the safety is at. Is right here. If we just, you know, you remember that song, Burning Bridges Behind Me to Get to You? I know that's a country and western song, but you know, God had to burn every bridge that I built to try to turn around and go back, because I couldn't go back. I didn't have a bridge to cross. I'd fall in the deepest ditch every time I'd go back. That's where he'd break my legs, buddy. He did not want me leaving. And so, you know, you think, God, you know, but I have learned this. It's kind of like the guy is fixing to get hung. They put his hat on his head and was fixing to hang him. He said, what you got to say? Well, I've learned me something now, but it's just a little bit late. He said, I've learned me something. Well, you know, I'm hoping that it's not too late for me. I feel like it. I'm trying to get my mind. It says, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so I'm trying to sit down and study the Word of God and let it become a part of me. And that's what it really helps it to make it a part of your life. If God has to burn some bridges behind you, let Him. Because the only way that on any other thing that works, you have to leave the environment that you're in to get out of some situations. You do. You really do. And so God was taking me out of the environment that I was in. And He's, you know, because He knew that's the only way He could save me was to get me out of the redneck, your crazy notions, ideas. That's what my problem was. I had these crazy ideas about what life was all about. You know, I thought it was just good times and hoorah, you know. And you think, man, but it's not. God loves us. God wants to save us. And God wants to fill our hearts with the sweet Holy Ghost. And He wants to give us a life that we can stand up and say, I love God. And He means more to me than anything else in this world. It doesn't matter if it's my wife. It doesn't matter if it's my children. It doesn't matter, and that's hard to say. Let me tell you, when you've got children or your relatives or someone coming against you because of the way that you're trying to live, that's hard to do. But what it is they're trying to take away that eternal life that God is placing within you. That's exactly what they're doing, and they don't know that. But when God gets a hold of your life and puts the sweet Holy Ghost in your down inside your heart, and you let God deal with your life. See, I'm beginning to find out that in order to let God deal with my heart, I've got to submit. And man, that's hard to do. That's hard to do. It's hard to submit when I think I know it all. That's the thing of it. You think you know everything, but I don't know one thing. The more I think about it, the more I'm finding out I don't know nothing. I ain't got a lick of sense. I don't have nothing. But I'm finding out that God loves me, and God wants to save me, and He wants to fill me with the sweet Holy Ghost. That song a while ago, let Him breathe on me. You know, when Moses slung the hyssop out and the blood out there, he was breathing on those people. And he was showing them that he wanted to give them a spirit that went into their hearts. And that's exactly what we were feeling here tonight was that spirit. And that is what saves our soul. And so I'm trying to get my grandchildren. And you know, I'm beginning to find out there is more and more grandparents raising their grandchildren than there has ever been in this whole United States. And I don't know if it's because of lack of responsibility, of I don't care and I don't, I'm not raising them, you know, they're yours or whatever, but it's a lack of responsibility. And I feel like that, well, you know, it's my fault. I don't know what I could have did. But I think, God, if it takes me giving up my life to start a life over and try to raise it, God, I appreciate that. Because I want to get the chance of doing it right. I want to try to do it right. I want to let my grandchildren know that to get in there and get the Holy Ghost and let God deal with their hearts. You know, and let the ministry deal with them, brother and sister. And then I pray, God, if they're going to find someone, let that someone be full of the Holy Ghost, be established in God, and set under a ministry where when that minister talks to them, they will listen, and they will do what they want them to do. Because that's where I missed it at. I missed it. I was so hard-headed. I thought I had to do my own thing. But I'm finding out now that to submit your life, and what is it when you, this life that we have, this body that I've got, I'm finally figuring out that it takes living that in this body and trying to help your brothers and sisters to get closer to God. That's what my body's for. Because it's not going to heaven. It's going to die. But the spirit, the soul within me, that has the Holy Ghost in me, is going to go to heaven. And I'll be renewed. But if I can let God deal with me in my life and let Him help me overcome the things that was in my life. Now, I have overcome a few things in my life. I'm not telling you I'm not that big a scoundrel now. There's some things that I have overcome. But there's still some things in my life that God is dealing with. And I'm trying to be submissive. And I'm trying to let God work them out of me. And there's some things that God has never let me get back to. In other words, He's taken some things away from me that we have cried our eyes out about, and God has never allowed us to deal with that yet. But I keep thinking, God, one of these days You'll allow us to rekindle that relationship, you know, again. And so I keep putting it in God's hands. But what I was saying before was there is so many people out here, grandparents raising their grandchildren, and they need help. But they need help from God. That's where they need it at, is from God. You take a grandparent that is drawing a little bit of something, and they're trying to raise a child again, and that child is suffering. Because they've lost their parents, and that child is suffering, but it's through the Spirit of God that can make that connection between them and make that difference. Make up that difference with God, because that's where it all means. That it, you know, like Brother Durham was talking about today, I thought about when Joseph stayed in prison that many years. Probably he was pretty young when they threw him in prison. He lost his whole life of youth, probably sitting in a jail cell somewhere. And you know, you think, it's like Brother Durham said, he could have been really mad at God. He had a reason to, but he didn't let it do that. And God turned that all around and blessed him. Blessed him. And brought his brothers back together. You know, that means so much. But I just wanted to get up and say how much I appreciate God. How much God it means to me, and I'm trying. Brothers and sisters, I'm trying to get closer to God. I'm trying to let God overcome me, you know, things in my life. I'm trying to let my mind be renewed. I'm trying. And I believe we all are. I believe we all are doing the best we can. You know, I read a scripture that said, I'm old, but I was young. But he said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. And you know, that's true. We can get down to, or like Brother Durham said, to the only can of hominy. And I don't think he liked hominy. I don't know. Do you? You like it, but you're saving that can. He was like the little woman that was saving the meal. You know, I'm going to take my last meal and then I'm going to die. You know, but God came through. God will come through for you. He'll come through for you. He will meet your needs. It doesn't matter what it is. God will come through for you. I know. God will come through for us. Yes. If we just trust Him. If we just learn to trust God and let Him have priorities in our life, He can do anything for us. God can do everything for us. But I love God. I love God and pray for us. We need it. If you ain't got nobody to pray for, pray for me. Put my name down on the top of the list and say, this guy needs help. He's crazy. But he loves God. He loves God because God can do anything. You know, it's like trying to just come out of the world. That's the hardest thing. It's coming out of the world and getting in to God because you got to lay everything aside. But let God touch your life. Let God touch your life. But I need God. And I know we all do, but I need God. I need a special touch from God. I need Him. I need Him more than anything in this world. I need Him more than silver or gold. I need Him more than practically life itself. I need Him more. I need God. And I think I know He knows that. Because I had the impression on not too long ago. I said, God, I'm just an old sinful man. You know, I impressed on me. He said, I know it. You know, so I said, God, You know everything in my heart then. You know everything. Well, then straighten me up. Wambo, it's straightened up. But that don't work that way. It don't work that way. I got hurts and I got feelings in me. I got wants and I got desires that God knows I have. And I've got things that I want to do. I've got places I want to go, things I want to see. But you know, it says to give up all. You know, the rich man went to Christ and he said, what do I have to do to be saved? Or how does it go? But to inherit eternal life. And Christ told him, he said, go and sell everything that you have. You know, and it said that that man was a very wealthy man. But you know, you can be poor as Job's turkey and still be rich in your things that you're doing, your endeavors, because I can be doing one thing, and in 5 minutes I can be involved in something else, and it doesn't cost me one red dime. So you can be so rich in your own spirit, and you can be rich in everything else, but If you're willing to give that all up for God and give, let Him be the priority in your life. I'm preaching to me. Me. That's what I'm doing when I get up here. I preach to me. Because, you know, I'm trying to tell you where I stand. Man, you know, I guess, you know, I found out this. When you get up here, there's no secrets. There's no secrets up here. There is no secrets. God knows everything about us. Sister Jill Author sings a song. There's a room in my heart. There's a place in my heart that even I don't go. Dude, we all have that, don't we? I've got places. I've got more than one room. I've even got a bunch of storage rooms. I've got a storage room stuck back there. I got things back there. And so, you know, and you think, God. But He knows they're all there. He knows they're all there. And so, He knows all about us. So we might as well just throw our hands up and say, God, here I am. Do with me what you want to do. I'll go and do whatever you want to do. But my first priority is this, is to learn how to lean on God. Learning how to lean. Learning how to let God take control of your life and to let love get in your heart. Love for your neighbors and your brothers and sisters. You know, I appreciate God, don't you? I love Him so much, and now I might be mad at Him tomorrow, but tonight I love Him. Don't you? I love God. You know, so we just praise God, you know. I love Him. Thank God.
I think I know what kind of storeroom Brother Jerry has. Something like what I've got. You know, but hasn't this been a wonderful covering? Hasn't this been wonderful? Why don't we just raise our hands and thank God for this that we felt? Oh God, we so appreciate you touching us and overshadowing us, Lord, letting us to feel your Spirit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. My Lord, what a wonderful covering we have. And I appreciate what Brother Jerry said here tonight and how that he's talking from his heart. And then to see different ones of you feel a covering and a touch. God's doing something for your lives. If you may not realize it tonight as much as you will on down the road, but I'm telling you, God is touching your life. Hallelujah! Thank God! Woo! Hallelujah. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Brother Wayne McGowan, and I'm country. I'm telling you, I really am country. I like to act, you know, kind of sophisticated at times, but when this wonderful covering comes in, there's something about it that just causes you to want to open your heart and your mouth and cry out to God from the very depths of your soul. It doesn't make God any difference what it sounds like. That's the thing that's so amazing to me. You know, some people, they come up to receive the Holy Ghost, and, you know, they'll come up and they'll go through all these different ways of doing things, you know, and I try to tell people, look, when you're seeking God, he's the maker. Go ahead, brother. I'll just laugh. Enjoy it. Have a good time. Yeah, my wife too. But But there's something about God that He doesn't care how it sounds as long as it's from your heart. Woo! My Lord, aren't you glad to be in a house tonight where you can worship God? And you can feel a wonderful covering of the Holy Ghost. My Lord. Hallelujah! Our Lord! I was raised in the country. We could go out of an early morning, especially in the fall and spring. Doves would be calling and talking to each other. And you stand there and just kind of look around in amazement at all the colors that you know, the leaves turns. You can't help but think, God, you're an amazing. And then if you're a country boy like I was, you just breathe in real deep. Woo! My Lord, what a feeling. That was before I got saved. My Lord, to feel this wonderful covering that we feel like we're feeling here tonight, and to know that God is moving in our midst, He's doing something for our lives. How much more should we cry out to Him and holler? God is moving in our lives. Brother Durham was talking today from the Old Testament somewhat, brought out these points, how that if a person was wealthy, they had to offer a certain type of offering for a sin offering. And if a person was very poor, they could offer a handful of meal. The thought stuck in my mind, and this is the first time that I'd ever thought of it, how that God requires a very minimal, listen to what I'm saying, God only requires a minimal offering from us as individuals to receive salvation. It really doesn't cost us much to come to the altar and say, God, I want to repent. I want to turn my life around. I want to serve you. I want to be a child of God. I want to be one of your children. We give such a small, small offering for that. Remember, if you're extremely poor, you just offer a handful of meal. If you're extremely wealthy, what would, you know, if you had 1,000 or 2,000 bullocks, what would 2 bullocks be? How much would a bullock be if you had 2,000 out in the field? Just a small amount. It's all that God requires. I really believe that God wants us to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. I don't think that He's going to require much more in relationship as far as the requirement are those things that He requires of us. He's doing the work. He is doing the work. All we're doing is furnishing the man. See how minimal that is? Somebody said, yeah, but it's hard for me to stay itched. Yeah, I know. But it's still just a minimal amount. And when we compare the glory that shall be revealed in us, how in the world are we going to compare that to the amounts that we've given to God? How will that stack up? You know, God, I give you me. La-di-da, who are you? You're not a whole lot. Before I found you, you wasn't anything. And what you become, I made you. So how in the world can I jump up and say, oh, God, look at what I've done for you? God just requires a little bit of us. And that he requires of us, he knows that we're able to give him. He's not going to require any more of you or me than what we're capable and able to give him. Our God is wonderful. I'm telling you, he's wonderful. So all you rich guys around here, y'all may have to give him $2,000 or $3,000. I ain't got that much on me. I may get by with a couple dollars I'm talking about. But all he requires of us is just that much that he requires of us, and it's not going to be more than we're able to give him. Hear what I'm saying? He's not going to require any more of you than what you can give him. And we're going to make the bride of Christ live 1,000 years, rule and reign on this earth, live on out through the ceaseless ages of eternity. We're going to live forever. Woo, my Lord. And I'm going to do that on just what he requires of me. Just a little bit of. Just a handful of meal. Just a handful of meal. I know that we like to think sometimes, well, serving God is a hard job. Or that, man, I got to give my life to God. I'm going to have to give my whole life. Let me kind of expand on that just a few moments here, if you'll allow me to. Giving your life to God is being done now, today. He's not requiring us to go out here and be drug up and down the streets behind cars or having our heads stuck in a guillotine or what's some of the other ways? You know, I could think of a lot of different ways, I guess. Maybe that's enough. But all he requires of us right now is to be in church, stand and testify, tell about his goodness, like Brother Jerry was doing here a while ago. Try to encourage the young people. Let them know that we love them. We've got to care for them. Get up and preach a message every once in a while. You know, like Brother Michael does. He was talking here Wednesday night about, if I can recollect it in my mind, and this is secondhand, but he was telling us how that we don't have enough faith in God. We don't believe that he will do for us. Somewhere along the line, we've got to develop that. Wasn't it you that brought up the statement that as a parent, any of the fathers here, grandfathers, whatever the situation might be, if you tell your child, "We're going to go fishing tomorrow," you know what that child will do, especially if they like fishing? They'll be up before daylight saying, "Dad, when are we leaving?" Brother Painter, yes, all right. But they'll be up ready to go. Why? Because they believe in their Father. We've got a Heavenly Father that cares more for us than anybody in the whole wide world. Young folks, if you could develop that same kind of confidence in God that you have in your natural father, I'm telling you, you'll be a long ways down the road when you hit 20. I'm still working on it. But I tell you one thing, I know now what I didn't know back a few years ago. I know that God knows where I'm at. I know that he knows what I'm doing. I know that he cares about my condition. Let me give you the whys that I know that. Back a few years ago, I got very despondent, quit church. Been here for a while. Left and went into business. And wasn't doing too bad. We was making our way. Then the time come, I got to wondering if, you know what's worse than having God to deal with you? There's something that's far worse than that. That's having God never to deal with you again. That's worse. Anyway, I hadn't really felt him in a long time. I kind of got concerned. I'm out in the world, doing my own thing, basically. But I was in a truck in San Antonio, Texas. And before I laid down in a sleeper, I asked the question in my mind. I didn't even ask it out loud. I said, God, are you through with me? I laid down in the sleeper and went to sleep, and I had a dream. In this dream, I was standing before a group of people talking, wasn't dressed properly. Wasn't in a pair of shorts, short sleeve or anything, but I wasn't dressed properly. I thought, when I woke up, I thought, well, Lord, I appreciate that dream. How's it going to come about? Well, I kind of let it get out of my mind. Several months went by. Nothing happened. You know? So I raised the question again. In the same place, same city, same truck stop, same truck. Lord, are you through with me? You know, are you done with me? I wanted a confirmation in my mind that God was dealing with my life. Laid down, went to sleep again, and had another dream. This time I was standing before a group of people. I was dressed better this time. I was talking. Oh, Lord, when I woke up, I thought, Lord, I don't know how in the world you're going to bring this about. Because we was very deep in debt. You know, we was making payments on everything, but we had a lot of overhead, a lot of overhead. Well, things happen. I come home and my wife and I sat down at our kitchen table, and I'm normal. When I say that, I'm pointing this out. If you're normal and you care for your wife like you should, if your wife breaks down and starts squalling, you're touched. My wife looked at me and she said, Wayne, what in the world are we going to do if she just broke down and squalled? I looked at her and I said, Ann, I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, I don't know what we're going to do. I didn't have a clue. But I said, I'll tell you this, I know God's in it. She said, do you think he is? I said, I know he's in it. I know it just sure as I'm sitting here. I know God's in it. Well, things happen. Business blew all to smithereens, but we're in the house of God tonight. You say, well, what happened? Oh, brother, there's a lot of things happened. But we had God to help us with our finances. I install septic systems. If any of you folks ever need to put in a new septic system, I install septic systems. I won't charge you for that advertisement. But we had to meet certain payments every month, and there's some months that you have a little additional amount going out. We had figured it down to where we could meet them under normal circumstances, but those circumstances changed ever so often, like when your car insurance come due and your truck insurance come due and your license plates come due and additional expenses. Well, let me tell you what happened. We was going along real good, and all of a sudden one of those months popped up that we was fixing to go under. And you know, I got a septic system to install. I thought, my, This is wonderful. Kind of a coincidence, but wonderful. Well, installed a SIP system, we met our bills, and went on the next few months, had another one to come up. Another month that we wasn't going to make it. I got a second septic system. Ann and I sat down, and she said, Wayne, she said, you know, that first one might have been a coincidence, but she said, I don't really believe it was, and she said, I know this one's not. She said, God is watching over us, and I told her, I said, you're right, he is. And it happened every time from then on for about the next 3 years. So what I'm telling you tonight is not something that I'm pulling out of a hat someplace. I'm telling you from experience. God is interested in saving your soul. He's interested in your finances. He's interested in your marriages. He's interested in your life. Amen. He is. He's interested. Sometimes we look at our circumstances and we think, my God, I don't believe they could be any worse. But I'm telling you, they could be a lot worse. They could be a lot worse. We're fortunate tonight to be in this house. Amen. We're fortunate to be here. And for God to deal with us and touch our lives and overshadow us like he has in this service. This whole day has been covered. This whole day has been covered. My Lord, look around. Thank God for what he's doing. Thank him. God, you may not understand all the circumstances in your life right now. You may not understand it, but God is doing it for a reason. God's trying to help you. He's trying to help me. And this week I may find a real good one. Brother Boyd, help me out there tomorrow if I show up. But God is working on us. God's trying to help us to get better. Thank God. Thank God. My Lord, I'm so thankful to be here and to be a part of this church. I'm so thrilled to be a part of what God is doing in the earth in this day and time.
They're getting ready. I guess I need to wanted to say that I've been needing to thank all of y'all for all the help y'all have given us and the encouragement. I know I missed a couple services that they said, you know, you'd be truthful up here because God knows anyhow. And I hate to say it wasn't because I wasn't feeling good from my car accident. I was having a pity party with myself. Everything just was really overwhelming for me, especially with David not here. And then I found out that both my grandparents have cancer and stuff, and I just got to the point I didn't know what to do. And truthfully, I felt like I was like, well, you know, I had a car accident. We had the fire in Wisconsin. The car isn't here. Well, we came here and this ain't where we're supposed to be. That was the first thing that came to my mind. And I was like, oh, well, David ain't here. I'm not going to church if we're not supposed to be there. But Chris Sarah, she's like, Mama, I'm going to church. I'm calling. I'm getting a ride. I'm going to church. I'm like, okay, go. She's like, you and Stephen going? I'm not. Of course, Stephen won't leave me by myself. But in all of this morning, even though I could feel that Brother Durham knew something was going on. I hate to say it, but I was fighting. In that last song, when Brother Michael Lim sang this morning, I fought it so hard, I hid in the bathroom. I was like, I ain't doing this. I'm sorry, you're not here for me, I'm not here for you. But for some reason, this afternoon, evening, it's just like it just hit me all of a sudden. It's like, well, you know what? You're not here for me, but I'm always here for you. And I couldn't hold my heart closed any longer. I just had to let him say, okay, God, finally, you know what? I haven't been able to do it all my life, but you know what? It's all in your hands. I can't worry about it anymore. It's all here, and it's yours. So I haven't sung in quite a while. My voice is so hoarse, but when he mentioned that song, I used to sing it up there in Wisconsin all the time, and I was like, Lord, you know, when I sang it up there, it's always true. We can't keep, like Brother York was saying, we can't keep our rooms closed. We have to let God in and say, okay, here's the key. You're the one, you know, I can't keep it locked. You got to hold it for now on. Let's try it. There's a place in my heart, place in my heart, where even I don't go. I've got some things in there I don't want no one to know. When he handed me the key, with tears of love on his face, he said, I want to make you clean. Take me to your secret place. My heart like a house, and I let my Savior in. And then when he's opened at the door, I knew this day had come too soon. And I said, Jesus, I'm not ready for us to visit in that room. There's a place in my heart, got some things in there that I don't want no one to know. And he handed me the key, and there's a love on his face. He said, I want to make it clean, try to take your secret place. I'll open up the door, and two of us walked in. Was so ashamed of where I laid my head in sin. And I think about that day, I'm not ashamed anymore, for I know my hidden sins are no longer behind that door. There's a place in my heart, even I don't go. I guess he handed me the key. his face. Said, I want to make you clean, like it to the sacred place. Opened up the door, and the two of us walked in. So ashamed, for they're laying my hidden sins. And I was thinking about that day. Oh, I'm not ashamed anymore.
There's a love on his face. Said, I want to make you clean. Let me in your secret place. Is there a place in your heart when you won't go? We have some things hidden there. Want to know? Well, he's handing you the key. The tears of love on his face. Let me make you clean. Let him in your secret place.
Maybe y'all don't want to go home, but I guess we need to go home. I thought we were about to get going there again, but anyway, it's good to be here. Good service, and to feel God in the service tonight and today, and pray that he'll be with us. Go with us tomorrow, next week. So let's thank God for this weekend. Remember the needs of Tyler Church, Brother Smith, just the different needs we mentioned already. Keep them on your heart. And let's not let this leak out, and keep the spirit in our hearts. Reaching out, like different ones. Letting God be open, Sister Rebecca was saying. Let our hearts be open to the Lord. Only he can help us, can give us what we need. It's in God. So anyway, let's stand and thank God for this weekend, today, and
yes,
pray that he'll be with us, go with us, keep his hand up on us.
Yes.
Father in heaven, thank you this night. Lord,
wonderful
Lord.
Savior, wonderful thank Jesus.
Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. We look to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this precious